Krishne Sudamo Bhagate Gyamana. I'm getting a different verse. Krishne Sudamo Bhagate Dhamaganadi Visaha Kalana Sadashamesha Purona Konadurita Nanayana Namaskachanaram Chaivam Narotama Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, what is this? We do not have East meets West here. And I need this because my eyesight is not so good. So just patience, Prabhus. Sorry for the delay. So you're saying 6/4/24, right? 26. Yeah, well, this thing has an obsession with another canto. So let's see what happens now. Well, what is this? Come here, Ron.
6/4/26, right? You would think that it would hit go, wouldn't you? Why am I getting a different verse? It is.
Ah, very good. Hare Krishna. You're all sitting back so far because you think I bite? Is there some... I'm vegetarian. Is there some... I mean, if there's a reason you're back there, but... Is there some reason they're back there? Ah, translation. Where's the translator? Good luck, Prabhu. I speak quickly. You can put your flag... You can put a distress flag up if I go too fast, okay? And when do we go till... 9 o'clock. Is it? No, because I'm up against a very important event. Prasadam. So we have to end on time, isn't it? Prabhupada said that an army runs on its stomach. Prasadam is very important. Okay, now why isn't it broken into word for word? Yado paramo manaso nama rupa Rupasya Jista Smriti Sampramosat Ya Iyate Kevalaya Swa Samstaya Hamsaya Tasmai Suchi Sanmane Nama. I'm trying to think of the tune. Yado padamo manaso namarupa rupa syajista smiti sampramosat. Saiyate kevalaya swasamstaya hamsaya tasmai suchi sand. Sanmane nama. Yado paramo manaso nama rupa. Rupasya drista smriti sampramosat. Ya iyate kevalaya swasamstaya. Hamsaya tasmai suchi sanmane namaha. Yado paramo manaso nama rupa. Rupasya drista smriti sampramosat. Yaiyate kevalaya sa samstaya. Hamsaya tasmai suchi sanmane namaha. Yadahi maha manaso narupa. Rupasya tristasya. Vaishnavis, note takers, you're too far away to see the board. That's also translation going on now. There, is it? Acha. All right. Yada, when in trance, uparama, complete cessation, manasa, of the mind, nama rupa, material names and forms, rupasya, of that by which they appear, drishta, of material vision, smriti, and of remembrance, sampramosat, due to destruction, ya, who, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, iyate, is perceived, kevalaya, with spiritual, sasamstaya, his own original form, hamsaya, unto the pure, Supreme Pure, tasmai, unto him, suchisanmane, who is realized only in the pure state of spiritual existence, namaha, I offer my respectful obeisances. When one's consciousness is completely purified of the contamination of material existence, gross and subtle, without being agitated as in the working and dreaming states, and when the mind is not dissolved into sushupti or deep sleep, one comes to the platform of trance. Then one's material vision and the memories of the mind, which manifest names and forms, are vanquished. Only in such trance is the Supreme Personality of Godhead revealed. Thus, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seen in that uncontaminated, transcendental state. Purport. There are two stages of God realization. One is called sugeyam, or easily understood, generally by mental speculation, and the other is called durgeyam, understood only with difficulty. Paramatma realization and Brahman realization are considered sugeyam, but realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is durgeyam. As described here, one attains the ultimate realization of the Personality of Godhead when one gives up the thinking and feeling and willing, or in other words, when mental speculation stops. This transcendental realization is above susupti, or deep sleep. In our gross conditional stage, we perceive things through material experience and remembrance. And in the subtle stage, we perceive the world in dreams. The process of vision also involves remembrance and also exists in a subtle form. Above gross experience and dreams is sushupti, or deep sleep. And when one comes to the complete spiritual platform, transcendental deep sleep, he attains trance, the Shuddha Sattva, or Vasudev Sattva, in which the Personality of Godhead is revealed. Atasi Krishna Namadi Navaved Gramya Indriyahi, from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. As long as one's situated in duality on the sensual platform, gross or subtle, realization of the original Personality of Godhead is impossible. Sevan mukhi jivadao swayameva sparatyada, But when one engages his senses in the service of the Lord, specifically when one engages the tongue in chanting Hare Krishna and taking Vishanam. What does it say? With the spirit of service, that's an important point. The Supreme Personality of God, it is revealed. This is indicated in this verse by the word Suchi Sanmane. Suchi means purified. By the spirit of rendering service with one's senses, the entire existence becomes Suchi Sadma, or the platform of uncontaminated purity. Daksha, therefore, offers his respectful obeisances under the Personality of Godhead, who is revealed on the platform of Suchi Sadma. In this regard, Srila Vishan Chakravarti Thakur quotes the following prayer by Lord Brahma from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tatapi Bhuman Mahima Gunasya David Buddha Marbati Amladan Taran Atmabi. One whose heart has become completely purified, my Lord, can understand the transcendental qualities of your Lordship and can understand the greatness of your activities. Om agena timarandasya agena agena silakaya jakshu shumilitan gena tasarishi gurave namaha. So the theme today, to the best of my ability, is that ours is a revelatory process. Revelatory coming from the word to be revealed. The Prabhupada liked the British saying, you cannot take the kingdom of God by storm. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the beginning of spiritual life, one has to wear, and continuing, but the beginning and continuing throughout, one has to garland around his neck what verse? Janadapi Sunichena. One has to be in Kali Yuga. It is the intrinsic nature of the conditioned soul to be puffed up. And in Kali Yuga, lazy, misguided, unlucky, above all, always disturbed, the Kali Yuga, everyone's puffed up. Prabhupada said, puffed up like a chapati. You know, when you cook chapatis, and some poof, all the hot air comes out. So they're just puffed up with nothing, with hot air. And in that puffed up state, people are so proud. But Prabhupada says, even the pauper is proud of his penny. The mosquito is bzz, 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 and he flies into the king's palace. Bzz, and he lands on the king's shoulder. Bzz, and he sees that king is sitting on the throne. He sees everyone bowing down, everyone's fanning, everyone's offering incense, offering prayers. And he thinks, just see how they're respecting me. And he becomes so happy in his mosquito consciousness, he begins to, you know, zzz very loudly. And what happens? The king, huh? Finished. We are just like that with the force of time. We're very proud, but the force of time comes whack, finished, within a second. So the beginning, if I want to shake hands with Ram Dayal, suppose somebody has Velcroed me or glued me to this seat, and I want to shake hands with this young man. Okay, let's suppose I can only reach, because I'm fixed here, I'm limited in my reach, suppose I can only reach this far. Now, don't do it yet. Can I shake hands with Ram Dayal or not? Possible or impossible? I can only go this far. Possible or impossible? If you get it wrong, you'll still get prasadam, don't worry. So, do you want to guess? What do you think? Possible or impossible? I'm asking you, young man. That's what you get for sitting in front. Possible or impossible? Possible! Oh, how? Defend your answer. How is it possible? Shom. Come on. If he extends to me, then it becomes very easy. We have to accept. People say, oh, I don't depend on anything. What? You're depending on gravity. I'm a self-made man. You spiritual people, you have a low self-esteem, and you feel that, oh, you've got to pray to God, and you know. But I'm a self-made man. What? You can't even step and walk without depending on gravity. Suppose I say to you, I will not depend on air. I'm my own man. I am a self-contained unit. I don't depend on anybody. Huh? How far will I get, not depending on air? What do you think?
Oh.
Watch your watch. How far? I think deep, they call them, what is it, free diving? They dive for pearls sometimes. They used to in the Gulf. I think they can hold their, anyone know? I don't have a factician here. I usually have somebody who knows the facts. But I think it's like, yeah, how long? It's around 6 minutes. I've heard up to 8. Maybe, you know, whatever. No, but I thank you very much. You've given me the range. So 6 minutes, 8 minutes, whatever. But for, you have to admit one's dependence on air. Is to admit dependence on air a sign of weakness or a sign of intelligence? I was on the plane with this rascal. He said, Swamiji, I'm an atheist. I said, really? I said, what do you work as? He said, I'm an engineer. I said, what kind of engineer? He said, I am a highway design. I said, okay, what are you working on now? He said, we're building a road from A to B, you know? I said, how many engineers are working on that road? He says, 300 plus. I said, to build one insignificant road takes 300 engineers. And for running this whole planet, which that road is on, and it's flying at, what is it, 1,800 miles a second around the sun, and spinning just for fun. You know, I mean, that's pretty far out when you think about it. It's spinning and flying around so many oceans, so many... Oh, and that, there's no intelligence behind it. To build a little... I was talking with a man who's a professor. He's a team coordinator for Boeing. You know, they built this big 777 Dreamliner. He told me that there's over 3,000 engineers to design that plane. He's in charge of one section of a section of a section with 20 people. It's a section of the hydraulic system. And that doesn't even include subcontractors, so many other people. You know, and they crash all the time. They smell bad, those airplanes. You have to pay so much. You ever when was the last time you got a bill from Bhumi for being on the Earth? You know? You gain a little weight, do they charge you overweight charges? Bhumi comes, you know? It's completely, where is the seamless logic? The man said, no, but I'm an honest man. I'm a moral man. I said to him, I said, let me give you a little grass and you make a drop of milk. Can you make me one drop of milk? He said, no. I asked him, I said, do you drink milk? He said, oh, yes. I said, fine, let me give you some grass and you produce some milk for me. He said, I can't do that. I said, you're not honest. You're not honest. You're a thief. You are stealing from Krishna. He was very upset. He said, oh, Swamiji, you're speaking so, you know. But the thing is that they're simply stealing. I was on a morning walk with Prabhupada in Mayapur. And this man says, and he was going on and on and on. That he had owned a glass factory. And he had a couple glass factories. And he said, oh, I have this glass factory. And I have so many employees. I have so many glass. He on and on and on about his glass factory. So finally, to, you know, puff his big chapati of hot air, Prabhupada poked a little hole. Srila Prabhupada said, and where do you get the silica? Where do you get the sand? Where do you get the coal for the furnace? Where do you get all the things? He said, well, I'm getting from Bhagavan. And Prabhupada said, so you're a thief. You're taking from Krishna and not, you know. And the man said, no, no. He said, I give sometimes in charity. Prabhupada said, all right, you're a little thief. Prabhupada came an inch, you know, but only an inch. So the... We should accept our actual position. What is it? Bede sudurlaba adurlaba atma bhakto. Because Prabhupada quotes Brahma Samhita and uses a similar word. That to understand Krishna, even you have the intelligence of Brahma with four heads. And some Brahmas have how many heads? Unlimited, so many heads. And they can't even touch the tip of the toe of Lord Vishnu. But Adarlava Atma Bhakto, with pure devotion, then it becomes very easy. So we are not... What is the shortest distance? For the Hindis in the back, to make sure you're listening. All right, you ready? Here comes the question. What is the shortest distance between two points? We must have some IIT graduate here. It's not advanced physics. What is the shortest distance between two points? In the back there, what do you think? Huh? Have I scared you all? I'm not as mean as I look. I'm really not. Nishringananda knows. He's put up with me for years. Just call my bluff. Works every time. All right. What is the shortest distance between two points? Front. You guys blew it. No prashad for you. No, I'm just joking. Straight line. Ram Dayal says straight line. What do you think?
Say again? Shortest distance in 2 points, straight line.
You know what PhD means? Permanent head damage. No, but I think you're going in the right direction. Too much. No, fine. As long as you're in plane geometry, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, isn't it? What if I add the dimension of height? All of a sudden, between point A and point B, I put Mount Kailash. All of a sudden, the shortest distance becomes a curve, isn't it? So when you add another dimension, what was true on one plane completely changes on another plane. You follow? So in a similar fashion, to understand Krishna, there was a devotee, still a devotee, nice Prabhu, and he was underage when he joined the Hare Krishna movement. And in those days, you know, to join the Hare Krishna movement, to become a monk, become a vegetarian, vegetarian Krishna prasadam, you know, they thought you were crazy. They thought you'd lost your mind. It was a sign of, and this chanting, sign of mental illness. It was tough. It was a tough time. Brave souls in those days. So the boy was underage, so they actually had him committed to a mental hospital for 72 hours of observance, you know? So nice devotee's in the hospital. Psychiatrist came to see him. He was in a solarium, you know, it's all walled in, but there was a little open area where there was some sun. So they're sitting out in the sun, and there was a flower. It's a true story. There was a flower vase on the desk. And the, you know, they ask, you know, are you hearing things? Because that's a sign of there's neurosis and psychosis. And if you're actually psychotic, you know, you hear voices, you're seeing, it's a higher level, a degree of mental illness. So they asked, you know, are you hearing things? Do you see things? Do you have? So the devotee responded, said, no, I'm not hallucinating. And he said, but I don't see what you see. So the psychiatrist with his beard, you know, what is it? No? He began to inquire. He said, what do you mean? And the devotee said, well, you see here, here's a vase. Because it talks about Nam Rupa, you know, the river of names in this, in the word for word. So here's a vase. And the devotee said that you see flowers, you know? And you see those flowers and you can use them, it's nice, some nice smell for you, or you can give them to some woman, try to seduce her. There's an old ditty, what is it? Candy is dandy, flowers have power, but liquor is quicker. So you can try to use the flowers to seduce her, you can use it for something like that, you know? He said, but actually, it's simply earth, fire, water, air, ether. It's a constant myriad of changing forms, like the Buddhists say, nothing is certain but change. So now you see those flowers, but in due course, you know, growth, maturation, culmination, decline, dissolution, death, that form will change. All it is earth, fire, water, ether. And actually all it is Brahman. Ultimately, you know, it's the Mahatattva transformed. That's all it is. So it actually has no use. Everything, the forms you see of this world are useless. He said, however, that thing therapeutically treated becomes the cure of the self-same disease, quoting Narada Muni. The devotee said this. He said, those flowers, that temporary illusory form that is ensnaring you in illusion, that illusory form, that same form which has no value, when you take those, you make a nice garland for Krishna, you offer to Krishna Arti, that same illusory form becomes transcendental and becomes the cause of your deliverance. The psychiatrist dropped his pipe, scratched his head, and said, you're not crazy. You're the first sane person I've met in 50 years. He said, nice, you don't belong here. He said, your work's too important. I'm checking you out right now. He went up to the front desk, you know, took the devotee's name, said, where's your temple? How can I get some books? He said, you know, you're speaking. I finally found someone who's like Diogenes. I finally found somebody who's speaking the truth, you know. And he was checking the devotee out. Just then, it's a true story, the father arrived on the scene. The doctor said, you know, I've had a long talk with your son, and we've really made some headway, and I'm checking him out right now. I would be proud to have such a son. The father began to hyperventilate. He was in such anxiety that his son was, you know, getting checked on. They thought that the psychiatrist said, "Oh, we think that you're having an anxiety panic attack," and they committed the father. So they let the son go and they kept the father, you know. You have undue attachments to your son. So my point is, for the devotee, he sees this world as it is. We see it for what it is and what it should be. So, I'm just thinking of the time. Nighttime or daytime, because it's talking about dreams, both are illusion. We're thinking, oh, now I'm conscious. This is reality. But when we dream, we forget all about this, isn't it? People have prophecies, even this nocturnal emission. People die of a heart attack sometimes in dreams. So it's very real on one hand. So which is daydream or night dream? Which dream is actually real? Both are dreams, actually.
Prabhupada, this one man was saying to Prabhupada,
"You're just dreaming. This is all a dream, that there's Krishna and there's a transcendental world and we're not this body, we're the soul within. This is all magical thinking. This is, you're dreaming. Prabhupada said, "All right." Sometimes Prabhupada would do this. He'd say, "Put aside Bhagavatam for a moment. Let's talk logic for a minute," sometimes Prabhupada would say. So Prabhupada said, "Fine. You say we're dreaming. And we say you're dreaming. You say we're dreaming, we say you're dreaming. Tit for tat, right?" So he said, "Prabhupada, let's analyze." He said, "Your dream is full of anxiety, isn't it? If this whole world's a dream, if there's no reality, I'm dreaming, you're dreaming. Let's analyze your dream. You're full of anxiety and fear of death and growing old and I'm too fat and, you know, all it's so much anxiety. The world's full of anxiety. Am I getting enough honor?" I was talking to a pilot on a plane, and, you know, a jet plane, they're constantly recalibrating their course. They get, I don't know, maybe you know this one too, but they get, it's something like, I don't know what is. It's like 400 messages a second. It's something. They're getting all the time signals because there's gravity, there's different wind forces, there's weight, there's all kinds of things. You know, there's all kinds of things that are knocking them off. They're constantly course correcting to stay in a straight line. In the simile, we're always course correcting. Am I happy? Am I enjoying? Is my mind peaceful? Are my senses, you know, am I being treated properly? Am I being respected? What about tomorrow? You know, we're constantly filled with anxiety of course correction. Am I happy? Am I happy? Am I happy? Am I happy? It's all meaningless. So, now where was I? We were talking about the psychiatrist. Huh? Ah! Thank you, Prabhu. Just making sure you're listening. Actually, I don't sleep well at night, so I'm a little tired. So Prabhupada said to this man, Prabhupada said, "So you're dreaming. Your dream is a horrible. If it's all a dream, if there's no reality, there's no subliminal truth that's foundation of the whole thing, then what's the difference? You're having your dream, which is a nasty dream." Prabhupada said, "We're also dreaming. We're chanting, we're dancing, we're taking prasadam. Devotees are happy." Prabhupada said, "The symptom of a devotee, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, Naso Jate Na Kanchate. Devotees are happy. So if there's no ultimate reality, if it's all a dream, why not have a nice dream? Beautiful Radha, you know, Radha Ras Bihari, take Prashanam. It's a great dream." So Prabhupada said, even if we're wrong, we're right. We've got a better dream, right? Why not? And then Prabhupada said, "But what if it's true? What if there are the Yamadutas? What if you have to, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction? What if, on a cow, we have a Goshala in Southern California, and we have one of the devotees gets Dairyman's magazine. It's a magazine about how to take care of cows, you know? And it's an advertisement. The devotee showed it to me. It's an advertisement for some antiseptic scrub. You know, you scrub it to get rid of ticks and bugs and things that you scrub the cow with. And it says in that advertisement that the average cow has over 2,000 hairs per square inch. As they say, do the math. We had a devotee figured out the surface area of an average cow. How many square inches, multiplied it by 2,000. Because it says in Manusamhita, you kill a cow, you have to take birth and be killed for every hair on the body of that cow. So we did the math. It's billions, I forget the number right now, but billions and billions, with a B, I'm not saying millions, I'm saying billions of hairs on, and we have to take birth for every hair on that cow. So shouldn't we be warned about that? And that's just one tiny, an ocean of sinful deeds. So what if it's true? Then Prabhupada said, you're in deep trouble to this man. He said, so, you know, if we're dreaming, we have a nice dream. And Prabhupada said, if we're right, we are really right. We go back to Godhead and He takes billions and billions of births. So either way, right or wrong, we're right. I guess I'll say this, because again I'm thinking of the time. Is this going outside? Or is it just inside audience? Not sure. Hare Krishna. Well, here goes. I've just taken sannyas, so I'll say a little something. Offend some people. I apologize. One of the essence, Krishna, Naranjana Maharaj was telling a very blissful narration. And it comes from one of the Puranas. It's an elaboration on the Dvarsa Muni story. And when Dvarsa Muni was being chased, you know, by the Sudarsan Chakra, and ultimately he came to Vishnu and tried to take shelter of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu said, I can't help you. You've offended my devotee. There's nothing I can do. And Dvarsa Muni said, you know, in English we would say, have a heart. You know, have a heart. You know, come on. You're the father of all living entities. Give me shelter. I'm in distress. I'm also one of your living entities. And he was saying, have a heart. Where is your heart? Lord Vishnu said, actually, I don't have a heart. I've given it away. Do you know where Lord Vishnu has given his heart to? Huh? He's given it to the devotees. He said, sorry, I can't help you. I've given my heart away. And it is because of the childlike, not childish, not foolish, but the childlike innocence of a devotee. Prabhupada was at the Calcutta Zoo, and there was a tiger. Rawr! And there was a small boy holding onto his father's hand. And the boy was, rawr, he was roaring back. And it was a miscalculation. If the tiger would get out, his father would be a small snack item, you know. But still, the principle was there. He was holding onto his father's hand because he was thinking, this little boy, he was thinking, the tiger's big and ferocious, but I have my father. So, rawr, you know. So Prabhupada said, we have our Krishna. We've taken shelter of Krishna. We're fearless. We didn't, you know, whatever may happen, I've committed some offense in a previous life. It's some token reaction. It's meant for purification. Whatever falls on my head, Hare Krishna. But I have Krishna. And I'm going to go back to Godhead. Prabhupada, this is a morning walk. I mentioned in Mayapur. Prabhupada's on a morning walk. And he says, and maybe Nisshunga, you were there maybe. Nisshunga is my god brother, so... And done so much nice service for Prabhupada over the years. Prabhupada's on a morning walk. And I was 74, 75, I forget. Everybody got sick. We were so sick, Prabhu. I mean, there was like, I was probably the last man standing. And then I got sick too, you know. Prabhupada looked at where all the devotees were. Everyone's there at Bhagavatam. Everyone's lined up in the bathroom. I mean, it was really tough. So Prabhupada's on this morning walk and he says, people were, you know, dropping from sunstroke. I mean, so many things. Prabhupada says, devotees don't suffer on this morning walk. There's a long pause. And finally, Pancha Dravida Maharaj says, Prabhupada, if the devotees don't suffer, what exactly are they doing? You know, because it appears sometimes this world is a little difficult, you know. And Prabhupada immediately picked up on it. Prabhupada starts to laugh, and Prabhupada says, "Dharmasya hi apavargasya." You know that pavarga is there, no doubt. But by genuine dharma, by practicing dharma, and by that I mean pure bhakti, ultimately it all go. All the whole Prabhupada said, "After fine," Prabhupada said, "but after this life, back home, back to Godhead." So that childlike innocence. That let me just surrender to Krishna. Let me just serve Krishna. That is so attractive that actually the devotee captures the heart of Krishna. And that is the only way. Unless Krishna, just again like our hand example, unless Krishna chooses to reveal himself, you cannot take the kingdom of God by storm. So all of these calculations, Prabhupada, Here's where I'm going to offend somebody. Two people. I'm going to offend palmists and I'm going to offend astrologers. Astrology has its place. First off, you've got to find a good astrologer. Now, astrology is a bona fide science, no doubt. Show me the good astrologer. That's another thing. But even you find a good, you know, for setting a date for a wedding and whatever, okay, fine. For when do you know you that? But in the ultimate issue, I'll start with palmacy, then I'll say about astrology. This one man said to Swamiji, "Can you read my palm?" This is in Detroit. Prophet, can I borrow your watch? Because my watch stopped. Somebody, it's in your own interest. I'll give it back. Somebody got a watch I can borrow with big numbers on it? I'll give it back. Don't worry. Unless it's a Rolex. No, I'm just kidding.
We don't care.
Ah, very good. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So, this man said, "Swamiji, Swamiji, can you read my palm?" Prabhupada said, "We do not do this." He said, "Yokesh mam vahami aham." You know, we depend on Krishna. Bhoktaram jagatapasam. You know, he's the friend of Suridam sarvabhutanam. We depend on Krishna. He's the friend of it. He provides. We don't care so much for this. Prabhupada gave so many nice answers. And when he was done, the man said, "Yes, yes, Swamiji, but can you read my palm?" Prabhupada said, "Give me your hand." That was blissful. So, and you know, Prabhupada was expert at everything. So he was also expert at theatrics. Prabhupada turned on his desk lamp, took the man's hand. He was pushing the hand. You know how they see the lines? Prabhupada was like this. You could hear a pin drop. Everyone, I was thinking, I'll get in line. Maybe Prabhupada will read my palm, you know? And then Prabhupada said, "All bad. Birth, death, disease, and old age." And I thought the man was going to have a heart attack. Prabhupada was so heavy, you know? And then Prabhupada smiled and Prabhupada said, "But you clap your hands at kirtan, all the lines go away." So for the devotee, we just depend on Krishna. One devotee came, I won't mention his name, one devotee came with one of those, nine stones, for this planet and that planet, or, you know, because he was in a Rahu period and the whole thing, you know. Prabhupada said, Krishna, what is it, Sarvalokamaheshwaram, he's the controller of all the planets. Prabhupada said, with one kick, Krishna can take care of 10,000 Rahu planets. And in the Krishna book, you read Krishna book from the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's, explaining Krishna book. When Krishna took birth, all the planets realigned themselves. Didn't they? Isn't it? They all aligned themselves for auspiciousness. If you have Krishna, all the planets align perfectly. You don't have to make a second independent calculation. So the point I'm trying to make, and we do need to end here because I've got some things I've got to do, is that when Prabhupada came, they asked Prabhupada, this childlike innocence, this sweet, humble dependence on Krishna, which is one of the otam and protam of bhakti, and which Krishna cannot resist. That's the point we're trying to make. Because to understand Krishna is far beyond our conception. Only when Krishna chooses to reveal himself. It is a descending process. So, they asked Prabhupada, typical newspaper reporter, "Why have you come to America?" You know, Prabhupada said, "Bark, bark, bark," you know. "Why have you come to America?" Prabhupada said one time, he said, "I have come to teach what you've forgotten." The man said, "What is that?" Prabhupada said, "How to love Krishna." So in this particular case, he was asking so many, "Why do you shave your head?" Prabhupada said, "Why do you shave your legs?" There was a woman reporter was next to him. "Why is the death rate so high in India?" "Death rate's the same everywhere, 100%. One man said, "But we've made so much medical advancement." He said, "There are so many doctors, and yet everyone dies." So ultimately, so Prabhupada was going on like this. Then the man said, "Well, what if everyone took to Krishna consciousness?" Prabhupada told him, "Don't worry. There'll always be fools like you who won't." Prabhupada, when he came back, it was in L.A., when he came back to the temple, Prabhupada said, "I can say this, you cannot." Prabhupada said, "It's a special dispensation for old men and little children. They can go anywhere and they can say anything, you know." Actually, people could sense that Prabhupada had their real self-interest at heart. So when Prabhupada would get in there and start cutting in the heart all the anartas, they could take it because they could sense that they could sense that this is someone who actually cares about me and wants to help me. But the point I wanted to make was same thing. One of these reporters barking at Prabhupada, Prabhupada's tolerating. So the man said, "Why did you come to America?" Prabhupada said, "Well, actually, Some of my God brothers went to England and they failed. Some went to Scandinavia and they failed. Some went to Germany and they failed. So I thought, if I'm going to fail, at least let me fail in a new place. That's my Prabhupada came to me. But actually we know, as Sena Fatabhakta, you know, sent by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada knew the whole world's chasing America. If I turn America, the whole world will turn. And it worked. I mean, it was a grand master, you know, like Napoleon, and they study all the strategy. Prabhupada's strategy of coming to America, turning some rich men's sons who become hippies, and bringing them back to India, and showing that you're giving up your culture, but these, who have everything you're chasing after, they've given up, and they're taking to your Vedic culture. It worked. That's one of the reasons this building was built, you know, by those Western devotees, and people were shocked. Maybe there is something in the Bhagavatam. So it was a masterful stroke of genius strategy, which was given to Prabhupada by Rupa Goswami, but that's another story. So, similarly, this man was going on, Tarun Kanti Ghosh, and we'll end here. Tarun Kanti Ghosh was, he'd been to Sisa, he was a life member, this was in Calcutta, and he was a life member, I think he was some great nephew or something from Bhakti, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And he heard, he'd been to see some yogi. And the yogi had, zoop, made an apple. Prapti Siddhi. So many of these guys are cheaters. I don't want to mention, well, I will mention names. That Sai Baba, he's dead now, isn't he? Is he dead? Good. Hare Krishna. Big cheater. I'm sorry, but there it is. I'll be gone in a few days. You can sue the temple. But he's a rascal. And they caught him doing this, you know, palming. What is that? You know, with a, like a magician with some gold chain and this and that, you know. There's so many rascals. He's a rascal in so many ways. But let's give this yogi, this one who Tarun Kanti Ghosh made an apple. Let's give him credit. Let's say, okay, fine, he made an apple. I offer my respects, you know. So Tarun Kanti Ghosh was going on. He saw this yogi and he made an apple and he did the apple. Prabhupada was humility personified. I was telling you guys yesterday. Anyway, some other time we'll tell some stories. Remind me. We'll tell some stories about Prabhupada's humility personified. Profoundly humble. But in this, you know, to shake this man out of his illusion and to bring him to the right understanding, Prabhupada had to speak. You know, he has to speak the truth. So Prabhupada said, I came to America, I had nothing. Prabhupada had, was it 40 rupees? Which in those days, you couldn't even, that same 40 rupees Prabhupada had in his pocket because you couldn't even spend in America. When he came back with Kirtanananda to Delhi, he paid the taxi cab. The taxi cab driver tried to cheat him, you know? That same 40 rupees, you know? You couldn't burn that 40 rupees in America. You couldn't even, transfer it into currency. So nothing. But he had the order of his Guru Maharaj, and he said, and I had my Bhagavatams. He had the Bhagavatam and the order of his Guru Maharaj. And he sat down in a New York park. You know, when Prabhupada first began to chant, you know, as a gentleman, at least he sat on the grass. And you know, it's a little comfort, some grass is there. One of New York's finest, one of New York's policemen came along and said, hey buddy, get off the grass. So Prabhupada's sitting on the hot sidewalk in New York City. And New York is not a friendly place. Trust me. You drop dead, they're just upset that you're in the way. You know, move on and keep going. It's not a friendly place. I mean, actually, there's many nice, though, and that's another thing. But Prabhupada sat down. It certainly was not welcoming to a saffron-clad sannyasi, an elderly gentleman, you know. It was not a friendly place. Prabhupada began to chant. And Prabhupada said, simply from that faith in my Guru's order and the holy name and the message of Bhagavatam, he said, so many devotees came. And from the devotees, so many deities, so many books, so many festivals. Prabhupada was sailing down Fifth Avenue, the most important street in the most important city in the most important country at the time in the world. Prabhupada was a beggar, and within a few years, he's sailing down Fifth Avenue with thousands of followers. I mean, it's inconceivable. So Prabhupada said, simply by that faith in my Guru Maharaj and the holy name, so many devotees, so many books, so many deities, so many festivals, and so many temples. And then Prabhupada said, and in every temple there are so many apples. Think about it. Apple chutney, apple halva. So the guy made one apple. Oh! But to go to the West and open temples all over the world, it is the most mystical thing that's ever happened on this planet. Practically speaking, it is inconceivable when you actually think about it. I never saw a mango till I joined the Hare Krishna movement. I knew there was some fruit. It was some fruit, mango. But I never saw one. So, I mean, just, you have to understand what it was like in the West. I came to the Sunday feast in Laguna Beach, 1969, summer of 1969. The Brahmachari giving class said you have to surrender everything to Krishna. The hippies next to me began to take off all their clothing. It's no. You know, I mean, you have to understand the environment. It's inconceivable. Christian, I mean, I could go on. Some remind me, sometime we'll go on and on. But, you know, what Prabhupada did was a mystical thing. Most mystical. And because he was surrendered to Krishna. So the simple point, one point made in this verse, that humble, sweet, childlike innocence is the secret for attracting Krishna. Krishna will give you his heart. And if you have Krishna's heart, you have everything. Guaranteed. Okay, we can end there. Thank you for sitting so patiently. Hare Krishna. Jai. We're done? Do we take... Alright. We're going to take one question, and I guarantee you it's going to be, you know, who was the fifth Rishi of the ninth Manu of... No stump the Swami questions. I mean, you can ask me later on, I don't mind, but, you know, if you've got a question on the class, that would be nice. And no second purports. You know, somebody gives it and they want to speak for 20 minutes on them. Just, if you have a question, otherwise we can end. And now that I've scared you all off. All right, thank you for sitting so patiently, Hare Krishna. You have a question. All right, because it's supposed to go to 9 o'clock, is it? Here's your watch.
Maharaj, you're talking about having childlike innocence.
Having childlike innocence, yes.
Isn't that contrary to, like, say, when we want to do some service, when there's responsibility and you can't be innocent?
Good question. Very good question.
How does it go together?
Very good question. Prabhupada said, it's one of those great sutras, you know, Prabhupada came out with so many, just, even for being functioning in this world, Prabhupada gave so much transcendental information, blissful information. Prabhupada said the sign of intelligence, one sign of intelligence, is the ability to balance opposing points within the mind. I'm going to say it again. Sign of intelligence is the ability, and we're supposed to be Dhira, Subhuti, you know, good intelligence, Sumedhasa, all those different things are there. One of the symptoms of good intelligence is the ability to balance opposing points within the mind. We tend to be literalists. We tend to be black and white. Because speaking for myself, you know, I get this little pea brain and I try to put everything in a box, you know? But that's not Mahatma. That's not broad-minded. And that's why I have all these sects and people fight over all kinds of stuff, over details, you know? So yes, we're supposed to be childlike innocence. But we're also supposed to be keenly intelligent. Prabhupada was so sharp. You know, there's that when he got the money back for the New York temple, you know, he said he's managed to get... The devotees were completely cheated. And Prabhupada said, I managed to get the money back out of the belly of Sir Con Man Fraud. And Prabhupada wrote a letter. And what's this speaking? We've got the Jew temple here. You know, the devotees were so bewildered, they gave the land back. You know? They said, Prabhupada, why are you moving us out to this fishing village? No one will come. We're out in the middle of nowhere with mosquitoes and giant rats. I remember cooking here. I don't know whether it was 73, 74. I think 74. I can't remember. And all there was little, they had those little huts. The deities were in that corrugated hut. And you could hear rats. These rats were as big as cats. They were running on the roof, you know. And we went to, I was making some paneer, some, you know, for some veg. And the milk wouldn't even curdle. It turned into this gray goop. You know, the milk, legally, the milk in Bombay in those days, it could have powdered milk, water, oil, buffalo milk. It had all these things that you could put in it and still call it milk. It's completely, I mean, you have no idea what the devotees... The devotees were living on limkas. You know limka? Because you couldn't drink the water. You drank the water, you got sick as a dog. There was no bottled water in those days. There was no such thing as Bisleri. It didn't exist. The only thing, the devotees are out all day done in the hot sun. You know, you should remember that we stand on the shoulders of giants. The devotees who, you know, started ISKCON, Hare Krishna, and built this temple. We all stand on the shoulders of giants, and we should remember that. So the point is, in that little bottle of limca, there were ants floating in it. So they were drinking warm limca with ants in it, so they could go out and raise money and build this temple. So we should never become puffed up. We should remember that we're, you know, we stand on the shoulders of giants. How did we get off on that? So the ability to intelligence means the ability to balance opposing points within the mind. So yes, we're innocent. Yes, we're simply depending on Krishna. But it doesn't mean we're a fool. For Krishna, Arjuna, you know, we have to fight like Arjuna for Krishna. Hanuman, you know, devotees are not fools. They fight for Krishna. Prabhupada wouldn't give a penny, you know. So we're both clever. When Prabhupada was leaving this world, and we'll end here, he called Giriraj Maharaj, one of the great heroes of our society. When he called Giriraj Maharaj a few days before Prabhupada left this world. You probably know this, but I'm going to say it again. And he asked Giriraj Maharaj, he said, do you think this movement will go on after I'm gone? This is in Vrindavan. Do you think, in disappearance, but do you think this movement will go on after I'm gone? And Giriraj Maharaj, as any devotee, you know, intelligent devotee would respond, he said, you know, Prabhupada, as long as we follow your teachings, as long as we have nice sadhana, as long as we chant Hare Krishna, by Krishna's grace, we'll be all right. Prabhupada leaned back and Prabhupada said, yes. He said, but there must also be organization and intelligence. So, we used to think, when I was a bhakta, a brahmachari, we used to think if you thought too much, you were trying to be the controller, and you were getting in the way of the super soul. It's true. Believe me. We used to think that if you went out and you know on Harinam and you forgot the books, then you should chant. Krishna wants you to chant. If you went out and you forgot the instruments, oh, Krishna must want you to distribute books all day. No, you didn't think too much. If we ran out of gas, thinking that E, instead of standing for empty, stands for eternal, you know, if we ran out of gas somewhere, oh, Krishna must want us to preach here. There must be some soul, you know. So in this way, we were stumbling, you know, playing in the hand of God. Our Sankirtan leader, Vaidyanath, very nice devotee, was killed in a car accident, so drive carefully. Very nice devotee. It just didn't sit right with him. It doesn't sound right, you know. So he wrote to Prabhupada, and he wrote, what does it mean to surrender? I mean, often we couldn't even get the question right, and Prabhupada could, you know, understand where we were trying to go. So the question he asked, in this paradigm of, you know, in this framework, parameter, of what does it mean to surrender and you know, just depend on Krishna and don't think too much, you know. So in that atmosphere, with that criteria, he wrote to Prabhupada, what does it mean to surrender? And Prabhupada wrote back, surrender means to use your intelligence. So Krishna's given us a brain, we should use it, you know. Just because it's fun and I promise I would end, but you can read in the letters book, one devotee writes a letter to Prabhupada about how to take care of Tulsi, and they ask like 24, 30 questions. And in the letter, Prabhupada writes the first five or six questions. He answers the key ones he answers. But you know, Prabhupada's not an answering machine. So Prabhupada said, here's the main questions. For the other ones, ask someone, you know, Prabhupada said, for the other questions, use your intelligence. And then it was so blissful. Prabhupada wrote a PS at the bottom. In his own hand, Prabhupada wrote, and if you don't have intelligence, ask someone who does. Knowing us oh so well. So use your intelligence. If you have some doubt, there's so many saintly devotees. You ask some senior devotee, and it'll all work out fine. But remember that it's revelatory. It requires humility. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.